We serve the God of the universe, he's acquainted with us, and he loves us. And, when we have prayer issues, that's when church gets real. Then we start getting serious about God when we need God. So I'm excited about what God's going to do, even in through that. And we're going to, again, pray in a little while again for her healing. Hopefully by then we'll have a little bit better idea what's going on. So let's pray. We're going to open up God's Word again, Psalm 19. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we're humble. We're humble today to be in your house, to be in the presence of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we have the ability to hear from your Word, that we have the ability, that you've given us a gift in Scripture. Lord, we're thankful today. We're thankful for the study of your Word. We're thankful for the life that it imparts to us. We're thankful for the Spirit of God that works in us and gives us tender soil in our hearts to plant the Word in. So we're thankful today. We pray that your Word would go forth now in the manner in which it was intended, into soft hearts. Lord, give us words, give us ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to Psalm 19 again. Psalm 19. I want to make a quick announcement. I forget. We have the Elijah series. A couple people had asked for the Elijah series. That is now in the... So we're going to start getting a lot of these series out on the Information Center, the Resource Center. And so the Elijah series is now there. Four sermons, how to walk with God, how to be a person of integrity like Elijah was, how to be the kind of person that can send fire from heaven if you were. That's out there. I think they're $3. Understand, we're not trying to get rich on it. I think we lose a few pennies on the deal, but that pays for the case and the printing and the CDs. That ain't all cheap. But the good reason why we want to do it with the quality in which we're doing it is so that you could pass it along. When you're done with it, you could pass it along and give it to somebody else. And so that's the reason why we do it that way. It's $3, which is nothing, to have something you can listen to anytime. We're going to be doing that with all our series moving forward. And just a heads up, that's out there now. Psalm 19. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, last week, Lucas preached out of Titus. Great message. And I was tempted to preach that again today. I was like, oh man, there's a lot here. And Lucas only had 1 week to do it, so I was going to kind of come back and bat cleanup. But so we'll wait. We'll wait. So we'll just go back to Psalm 19. Sweeter than honey, the series that we're on about God's Word. I'm going to read the book, the chapter, and. You ready? Is everybody ready? We're ready to focus. Let's focus. God has something for us today. All right? We believe that. Let's focus on His Word now. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge, and there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and the utterance to the end of the world. And he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hid from its heat. So the psalmist David setting us up with the power of the creation, the revelation of God through the revealed world that we see. Foolishness to believe that there's not a sovereign creator and designer over everything that we see outside. I walked this morning. I didn't even tell Kelly this, but the van I take was out of battery. So somebody left a light on in there. I don't know just let you know, somebody left the light on in the van, and so I went to start the van, dead. There was a light left on in the white van, dead. So I didn't wake Kelly up. I said, forget it. I'm gonna be in peace. I'm not going to be upset about the light being left on. I'm going to walk. And I was in peace. I only bring it up now. It's an illustration now, you know? It's an illustration. So the light was left on in the van. I was just saying. So anyway, so that's part of the illustration. So I started, so I walked. It was nice. And I was walking, and I noticed a robin. I said, oh, it's a beautiful little robin there. And start noticing. I start listening to all the birds. Oh, it was beautiful birds. I loved hearing the birds. And it hit me how wonderful this time of year is and the bird songs. I'm not, forget the trees, forget everything else, just the birds, how beautiful. God is so good. What a wondrous creator to create so many beautiful birds that wake us up in the morning. We have to, Kelly hates the birds, but we get to walk and hear these beautiful birds. And, you know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God's word says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We can't but look outside and hear the wondrous creation and know that there is a God. So the psalmist says that the creative power of God has displayed the glory of God on our behalf, so that we can see simply by looking outside that there is a God. It's amazing, the power. And he talks about the sun and going through its circuit, and there's nothing hid from the heat of the sun. Or just thinking about the sun as a picture of the energy and power and awesomeness of God. There is a God. And so the creation tells us that. But even with all the power of creation and all the energy that the creative process must have taken, and yet it is limited in what it is able to accomplish, and much greater the revealed work of God and the revealed power of God through the scriptures. And God's word says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me from hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of my great transgressions. Let verse 15, 14, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. A great passage, much like Psalm 119, that deals almost exclusively with the power and energy of God's word. Psalm 19 does something similar. And so we talked about it last week. In these few verses, there are six titles of God's word, six titles. And so it's the law of the Lord, the precepts, the judgments. There's six titles of God's word. There are six benefits or effects and six characteristics of God's word. So each of these clauses have a title, an attribute, and an effect. Everybody clear on that? And so last 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the law of the Lord, the Torah. The law of the Lord is perfect. Not perfect as opposed to imperfect. Perfect as opposed to incomplete. The law of the Lord is complete, completely comprehensive to be able to do what God says it's going to do. And what's it do? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. I love that. I love that. The soul is a word that's translated, I read the other day, it's translated 20 different times, 20 different ways in the Old Testament. Heart, you know, guts, which I think is such a gross word, guts. You know, but translated so many different ways. You know what soul is? Soul is the very inner part of what makes you what you are. It's the part we can't get to. It's the part that science hasn't come to an understanding about. It's the part that really makes you you, the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect or complete, comprehensive in its ability to restore, convert, change, make new that part of you that you don't even understand. How awesome is that? Science can't even figure out what the soul is. God's word is able and comprehensive in its ability to restore that. I think that's pretty amazing. Is anybody excited this morning? I feel like, I don't know why. Do we need to do some sit-ups or push-ups or jumping jacks? I feel like we're asleep. Did you just hear what I said? The law of the Lord is perfect in its ability, complete, comprehensive, in its ability to change what's broken on the inside of you and change it and restore it to new. I guess that's not too exciting. I don't know what else to say. I thought that was pretty exciting. Oh, this is going to be a great message. I just can't wait to preach. People are going to get all excited. You got to do your part. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. That word again, perfect, means all-sided, comprehensive. No matter where in the inside it's broke, God's word can come in and fix. You know, I'm so out on, that's one of the reasons why, now I'm not trying to re-preach 2 weeks ago, but I'm trying to remind us, but it's one of the reasons why I'm for, not against, as I should say, I'm not against psychology or going to counseling. I'm for it. I think everybody should go to counseling. I think it'd be great if everybody just assume that we're all broken and we all need people from people outside of us and our relationships to come in and to help. I wish we had a culture like that. So you know, you hear occasionally a couple that's in counseling, and it's like we're in counseling. Hey, we should all be in counseling. Counseling is basically discipleship. How can I get somebody that knows and can help me with wisdom to help me and to counsel me so that I can grow in Jesus? Does that make sense? We're all broken. We all in need of more remedial discipleship. And so we're all in need. So, but here's what I'm against. I'm not against counseling. I think there's wisdom. Hey, listen, Dr. Phil has some wisdom, but when he has wisdom, it's because it's God's wisdom. He may not put a verse or so the thing is, when we need something that changes our relationships, when we need something that changes the thing that's deep inside and we can't get to, that we've struggled for years and years, when we need something that's really going to help get at the root of the problem, right here, we have a copy of the answer. This is life and light to all who hear it. So we have a copy of the comprehensive book on you that's able to fix you. I don't need fixed. You need fixed. You need fixed. There's no doubt about it. I need fixed. My marriage is perfect. It's not perfect. Right, Kelly? Not perfect. It's okay. Some days it's bad. Some days it's good. Every day needs help. Micah doesn't want to start shaking his head. I'll start seeing. I just noticed he's sitting down here, And he was shaking his head on our marriage. Uh-oh. He always sits back there. Now he's in the line of fire. I always forget about him back there. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete, comprehensive. The second title is the testimony. Oh, consequently, six times, not only do we get six titles and six attributes and six effects, we also get the words of the Lord six times. This is not what I think. This is not the testimony of Jesse. This is not the testimony of Dr. Phil. This is not the testimony of the President of the United States. This is the testimony of the God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth. Everything that we see, big time, okay? Testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord. A testimony is God's, that's his own witness of himself. That's what a testimony is. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. We're talking about the Great Commission. We've been looking at the Great Commission as it regards the mission trip that we're going to take in 2 months now. We're going to be on this mission trip to Honduras looking at the, and I said, all of you, myself included, have to work on a testimony. You know, a testimony. Which is to say, bear witness of what God has done, which is what the Great Commission puts it, that we're to bear witness to all the things. So I said, everybody's going to work on a written testimony. Well, testimony of what? A witness of what? A witness of the way that you used to be, and then something happened in your life where Jesus came in and rocked your world. Okay, messed things up. You were walking one way, and all of a sudden Jesus comes in. It's like, whoa, what happened here? And then he fixed it all at once. And now something happened and changed, right? So what we're bearing witness of is a life that we used to live. This is all the testimony is. It's a life that we used to live, bearing witness to that, bearing witness to the fact that God's come in, changed you, and now you're this by God's grace. That's it. Not very complicated. That's what we bear witness to. So that's what a testimony is. You want to hear God's testimony? Oh boy, here it is. This is the testimony of the Lord. This is what bears witness to God of himself. Everything that he thought you could understand or needed to know is right here. It's the testimony, the divine self-witness of God written on these pages. Over thousands of years preserved. Thousands and thousands of Greek manuscripts that we have that has borne witness of an accurate transmittal of information over thousands of years. And we have confidence, every confidence, that this is the inspired word of God. This is the testimony of God. This is what God says of himself, what he thinks is important for you to know. I think that's because God, I mean, do you think God's pretty smart? I think God's a smart God. I think if God is going to give me a gift, and that is a writing of what he thinks is important for me to know, I suggest that this is important. This is the testimony of the Lord. The testimony. Well, there's a lot of important things that we should learn, right? So, I mean, you know, if you're going to be a mechanic, certainly things that you ought to learn about that so that you could do a good job. That way you have confidence that, you know, it's like, you know, they talk about practicing medicine. They practice medicine. It's the only field that people practice in. Everything else is like, they don't practice mechanicry or whatever you want to call it, mechanics. They don't practice that. They know it. somehow we're still practicing the science of medicine. But, you know, how confident would you be if you went to a mechanic and the sign said, "We think we can fix your car. Get it right 75% of the time." Very little confidence. So we have confidence when God says it. This is what He says. The testimony of the Lord is what? The testimony title, the characteristic, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's the word trustworthy. Trustworthy. God is not, I think that's interesting, God is not trying to hoodwink you. God is in no business of trying to trick you. God does not want to steal from you. God wants to give you and bless you and help you. It's the nature of God. So often we think that the testimony of God, or God's word, is there to steal from us and to take away freedoms and fun and all that. You know what I'm saying? Or God's word, no. God's word is not that at all. It's the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. It's sure. It's something we can count on. It's not something that's intended to harm us. It helps us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, trustworthy. To do what? What is it trustworthy to do? The title, the testimony of the Lord, the characteristic, it's trustworthy. The benefit or effect, the ability, is it makes wise the simple. What in the world does that mean? I don't like the way they phrase it. Every translation phrases it this way, and I think it doesn't make a lot of sense. What it's saying is it has the ability to make wise people out of simple people. Does that make sense? It has the ability to take the simple and turn them into wise people. And so, what is a simple person? And this is really important. The simple. The root of the word simple means open door. So in the original language, the root of the word simple means open door. It's saying, I haven't come to a conclusion yet. All right, so here it says the testimony of the Lord is sure, but it makes simple people into wise people. It's an open door mentality. Unfortunately, this is the world that we live in today. It's a world of admittedly simple people. In fact, in politics is my game. I don't talk about it. It's like my sporting hobby. I don't talk about it a lot. I certainly... You know, our church doesn't endorse candidates. I don't endorse candidates. I don't have But what I think is interesting about politics as a sport is that the people that everybody looks up to and gets to be all on the shows, especially as it starts getting close, are the undecideds. Have you ever heard that term? The undecideds. What's the other word for undecideds? Dale, help me here. Somebody help me. The undecideds, the independents. Oh, I don't have political independence. Well, but at least independents, they kind of know what the undecided is. I just don't know yet who I'm going to choose, which to me is ridiculous because the options couldn't be any more stark. Almost always, especially in primaries, maybe, or whatever, but I'm talking about like when you get into presidential elections. If you're undecided November 1st, you're a moron. Do you agree? If you don't know November 1st, you haven't decided yet, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on to decide here? Was there something unclear about the stark differences between this candidate and that candidate? Was there like more information you needed to know? I find this unbelievable. But the world that we live in, people get applauded for sort of not taking a side, right? And you get, you know, so look, isn't undecided, isn't that great? He's open-minded. Well, God's word doesn't have a lot great to say about open-minded people, open-door people. Here's the thing. When it comes to God's word and when it comes to spiritual things, don't have an open door. Shut it. Render a judgment already on what God considers important. Can everybody hear that? Let's render a judgment. Either God is God, and he is who he says he is, or he's not. The idea that we would not be decided on that is, to me, is frankly, it's unbelievable. Decide. Shut the door. Stop being simple. Stop leaving your options open. Am I going to serve God? Am I not? Am I going to serve God? Am I not? Let me try to ride the fence and live that kind of life as long as I can go. Forget it. Doesn't work. You're simple. God's word makes it really clear. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Either you're going to serve the God or you're going to or not. Make a decision. Stop riding the fence. Simple. It's so interesting. The word, I think it's hilarious. The word agnostic does everybody know what an agnostic is? An agnostic is somebody that... It literally means, gnosis in Greek means to know or knowledge. Agnostic is somebody that doesn't know. I don't know. I don't know if there's a God or not. In Latin, that same word for agnostic is ignoramus. In Latin, same exact word. I don't know. It was just ignorant. I just don't know. I don't know if there's a God or not. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. There comes a point in everybody's life where you must render judgment on things that God say are important or not. And you will either decide it's important and I side on the side of what God says, or you'll say, I don't believe that. But the idea that you can have an open mind and an open door, it just doesn't work. God's word doesn't say a lot great about that. Render judgment. Make a decision. You don't need more information. This November 1st is too late. You should have already made up your mind. God is clear. The testimony of God and what he says about himself is absolutely crystal clear. Does that make sense? It is sure. Render a judgment. Say, I don't know how. I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't get. How can I render a judgment? Admittedly, then, Jesse, by your definition and by God's word's definition, I'm simple because I just don't know. I've got an open door mentality. I'm leaving all of my options open. Okay, well, so here's the solution to this problem. The solution to this problem is God's word. God's word is able to, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making simple people wise people. You know, the opposite of being simple is not, there's nothing great about not knowing. Is everybody following me? There's nothing great about having an open door mentality, I haven't decided yet. It's the opposite of wisdom. God's word says that if you want to not be simple, God's word has the capacity to take you and make you into someone who's wise. Is anybody here sometimes lacking wisdom? I am. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I don't know. Listen, I don't need to not know. I don't need to have open options. I need to know. I need wisdom. Does that make sense? God's word has the capacity to take simple people. People that don't know. And to give the testimony of the Lord is sure in its ability to take simple people and make them wise people. I think that's absolutely amazing. Today, a crisis that we have in our country, this is just in general, is that a lot of people, and I'm acquainted with this a lot, not in our family, but kind of outside of our family, extended family, that we have a lot of people that unfortunately keep making very foolish, unwise decisions. Are you following that? Well, the crisis here is that we have a church that's very unwise. And when I say church, I mean individuals. That we continue to mess up and do things in a way that doesn't honor God. And we don't have a lot of wisdom in the church. Are you following that? There's not a lot of wisdom. And I'm not talking about the church hierarchy, although certainly that might be true. But I'm talking about the church, the people, the body of Jesus. Not a very, sometimes seems like a very foolish church. Do you know why this is? The reason is because we don't have a church for large part that are students of, and I hate to use the word student because it implies that we're learning, followers of this book. We don't have people that get into this book and say, God, how do you want me to live? What do you have to say about my life? How does this book change me? We have students of the Word in a different way where we learn a lot about God's Word. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. But the goal of God's Word is not to learn. The goal, even the Great Commission states very explicitly that you go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. Observe, not learn. Observe. Certainly learning, you have to learn it first in order to observe it. But the goal is not to learn. The goal is to take this book and apply it. Apply it. We're not just learning so that our heads get really big and we can know all the theological things to say and learn all the deep doctrines and so our head's really big and we get all puffed up and look at me, look how much I know. God's Word's not designed like that. God's Word is it's inspired, given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book is designed to make you the kind of person that God wants you to be, such that you observe all the things that God has commanded. This doesn't change the way you think, except to the extent that it changes the way you act. Changes the way that you live. It turns you from a foolish, simple person into a wise person, making wise decisions. And how many of us have gone through life making poor decision after poor decision after poor decision, never learning, always struggling, poor decision after poor decision? I submit that the reason is because we're not students of the testimony of God. We're not students of the book. Again, I hate to use the word students. We're not appliers of the book. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew, he says, anybody that, Matthew chapter, let me find it. It's better for me to find it. Matthew, don't let me down. Matthew chapter, end of the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, not just hears, but here's what Jesus says, and acts on them, will be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The rock that we set our foundation on in this passage is not Jesus. It is Jesus' words applied and acted on that's the rock. Right? Jesus is not the rock that we set our foundation on. It's Jesus' words acted upon that's the rock. And we've gotten into this sort of a little area in our churches, where God's word is valued as something to study, but not so much valued as something to apply and act on. And I think this is a tremendous problem. God's word is written in order for us to apply. In order for us to apply. Can I get an amen on that? I think we need to affirm this. We need to apply God's word. Now, you can't apply it unless you read it. You agree with that? It's okay, you don't just put your head on it and you know, osmosis. Let it just kind of sink in there. It's not the way it works. You have to read it. But reading it is nothing unless it's applied. Well, how do I apply? And so the thing is that everything in God's word is applicable. And again, we get into so much trouble. Gene, you understand this. Gene will understand it. So, you know, the thing is, we start to look at the book as a doctrinal thing. And it is doctrinal. But like we said in Sunday school, again, I might as well just teach Sunday school class again. What we said in Sunday school is, and I think this is really important, you know, take the doctrine of, what were we talking about this morning? The doctrine of Mary. Doctrine of Mary. Mary. Virgin birth. Oh, we affirm that doctrine. It's an important doctrine. How does it change my life? It changes your life. There's a reason that theology is true. A world in which there's a virgin birth is different than a world in which there isn't a virgin birth. A world where a virgin birth happens tells me something about the nature of God. A world in which the virgin birth happens tells me about who I am, what God wants to do with me, the kind of God that we serve. It is not a dead theology that we just look at and say, hey, look at that virgin birth. Isn't that nice? That doctrine's so great. God's word's not made up of doctrines that can't be applied. Okay, I can't. Kelly's not going to virgin birth anybody anytime soon. It can't be applied in that way. But it can be applied in the sense that there's something that we can learn about the nature of God in God's word that changes me. We have to get away from reading God's word like that. We read God's word to see what God wants us to do, and then we act on it. We do it. It's the testimony of the Lord. And as we do that, as we submit to the testimony of the Lord, God's word says, Psalm 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. As we do that, we say, God, I'm coming to your word fresh today. What do you have to teach me today? How do I see me in this? Where do I see God and me in this? And then I look at that and I say, God, change me today. I want to apply this in some way today. And as you do that, the testimony of the Lord is sure, trustworthy in its ability to make you from a simple person into more and more a wise person. Is that good news? This is good news. I can tell you, there is no self-help manual that you will find anywhere on Amazon that promises to accomplish all that God's Word can. I need help. I need to find how God, I need to buy a book on how to be a better disciple. We got the book. I need a book on how to be a better pastor's wife. It's right here. I need a book on how to be a good elder. It's right here. I need a good book on how to be somebody that's a good, somebody that prays well. It's right here. We have the book. We don't need books. If we read this book, Lifeway would go out of business. I'm for good resources, but I'm for the best resource. Right here. Is everybody hearing me today? Do you receive that today? Support Lifeway, no problem, but read this book first. Do you receive the word? Lord, we love you. We love you, and we ask that you'd, God, that you'd help us to be students, followers of the word today. Help us to be the kind of people that aren't simple people, but wise people. Help us to be followers. Help us to be a godly people. Lord, we love you. Be with us in Jesus' name. With your eyes still bowed, we're just going to sing. And if you need prayer this morning, I invite the prayer team to come up.